I will ask you to pray for me. I know it's getting late, but and I appreciate everybody following the Lord. We've got to do it. I said that in the beginning. We've got to do it. But I promise I'll be just as short as I can this morning. But I'm not because it's me by no means. But I feel the preaching of the gospel is one of the most important parts. And so pray for me that maybe I can do something that'll be a help to you. It'll be a help for the Lord's cause this morning. Been on one thought, like I said earlier, for several months. The Lord had given me a thought, and I'd studied and studied, and then I'd re-study. And I don't really know exactly how the Lord will lead us this morning, but I want to read one scripture that's what stood out the most. And Brother Josh already talked on it just a little there. And that's fine. I love that because that means that he and I maybe are on the same wavelength. And so I want to read that in Songs of Solomon, just one verse. And you don't have to turn over there. It's in chapter 2, verse 16. It says, "My beloved is mine, and I am his." Was actually the song I requested, "He is mine and I am his," is where the Lord had put that original thought on my heart. And I remembered there, I'd read something along that lines, and the Lord brought it back to my remembrance. And I went to flipping through. I don't know the scriptures as well as others, so I've got to get my concordance out and try to look. And finally, there it was. And I went over there and read that. And I've been mentioning, not on purpose, but I've been mentioning the Lord had impressed me to mention different things, but it's still the same today, this morning. I am still one of His children. Come what may, done what I've done, I'm still His. I've heard people title messages and things like that before, and I don't do that. My grandmother passed away, and the preacher titled his message, the sermon there, and the title of the sermon was "Game Over," and you, I'm sure most of you already imagine what the sermon was about. I preached a sermon in Indiana one time, and the Lord had impressed me to title it, and it was, Bob Barker used to say it on The Price is Right. He would say, "Come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right." I know most everybody in here has probably heard that, grandmothers, mothers, whatever, watched that show. And I want you to know this morning, I'm just going to try to follow the Lord. I've got something prepared, but the Lord leads us different. We've got to go different. So if I'm scattered or whatever, just pray harder for me. I want you to know this morning that this is the most important day of your life. Did you know that? Today is the most important day of your life if you're lost. Why do you say today is the most important day? It'll become evident in just a moment. You see, yesterday has already passed away. It's gone. You'll not get it back. Yesterday is gone. And as we say this a whole lot, there is no promise of a tomorrow. No promise whatsoever. Today is the most important day in your life. I'll promise you. I'll promise you. And what we do with this day will have everlasting consequences. You know that? It will. You can believe it or not. It doesn't matter, and I'm thankful that it don't. It doesn't matter what background that we come from in this life. You know that? You might have come from a wealthy family, and I may have come from a not wealthy family. It don't mean nothing to the Lord. He thinks a little of it. He put it out there for us to walk on when we get there. He don't care nothing about money. And it doesn't matter what origin of the world or any of that matter. It doesn't matter what race or creed or even what belief that we are. You know that? There's a lot of religious people that's in trouble. You know that? I listened to one just before we left the house. It was all good in his eyes. And boy, I'm telling you what, if you're a saved person, it is going to be all good. And I don't mean this to be ugly, but I hope you hear me this morning. Everybody's not going to heaven. As bad as we want it to be that way, just as Sister Audra said, there'll be good people in hell. Morally sound people, they'll be there. Now you can rest assured on that. When it comes right down to it, there ain't none of us good. We're all the same, you know that. What was it there that the Lord repeated? He said He was going to destroy the world. Why was that? Y'all ever thought about that? Because the thoughts and intents of our heart was continuing within us to do evil. That wasn't the lost world. That was His people He was talking about. That's us He's talking about. It's continually within us that to do evil. Our thoughts are evil. And folks, I'm going to just tell you, without His help, if we was loose just a little bit without His help, we'd be in some kind of trouble. You know that. You just look at the shape this nation's in, you can see a little touch of it, can't you? I believe wholeheartedly the only reason is just as the Scripture says that He's not called His children home is that there's a remnant, just a few that's holding on. Amen. Just a few. I don't know how long it's going to last. How long's the remnant going to hold on? I believe till the end. But how many? How many? He is mine. That was the first thought that I got. He's mine. You see, when I need help, He's mine. Some of you may have not never been in this position, but if you've ever been to where you didn't have but just X amount of dollars in your bills was a little bit more than that, you was in need, wasn't you? Now, I've been there before. I had no way out, it seemed. I'm not preaching prosperity this morning, but listen. If you're one of God's children, God already knows what your needs are. He knows it. Those scriptures over there you can find in the Gospels about take no thought for your life on what you will eat and what you will drink and what you will put on. He said He knows already the needs that you have. He already knows that we've got to have a ride to work. We've got to have a job. We've got to have food. We've got to have clothes. He already knows all that. He said for us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He said if we do that, then He'd add all those other things unto us. Well, you think about that for a moment. He's mine. He's mine. Ever-present help in need, in a time of need. That's what He is. He's mine. And the second part of that is I'm His. I'm His. He's not just mine, but I'm His. You see, He's took ownership of me, so to speak. I wish I could get it out the way He showed me. I'll never be able to do it. People say it all the time, boy, you love the Lord. And I'm glad somebody might say that about me because if they knew my thoughts, they wouldn't. As much as I try to pray, and as much as I try to preach, and as much as I try to study, which is, I'm failing it, don't get me wrong. I'm not just sitting around all the time with a book in my hand. But as much as I do that, I want you to know I fail that much more. It seems once that the Spirit of the Lord's there, and boy, it's good when His Spirit dwells amongst us, isn't it? I feel that spirit and it's there and it's right there with me and it's good. And I rejoice and my cup runs over. And then the next thought's just as evil as it was before. Any of y'all like that? Phew-wee. And listen, it's going to be that way, I'm afraid, until He calls me home. That's just the way it is. But listen, I'm His. Come what may, I'm His, and He's is mine. I've thought about it a whole lot of times. When He chastises me, Lord, let me tell you, He'll chastise you if He loves you. And if you tell me you've been saved any longer than just a few moments and He's never chastised you, then it's one of two things. You didn't get saved, or you're not listening. That's just the way it is. The world wants to call it karma. I want you to know the chastening hand of God is real. And it's for a purpose. You know that? I'm His. When I get outside the boundaries, He brings me back in. And sometimes it's painful. It is. You know that? I've told you here many times that the Lord showed me things. I went about 10 years in a job or in jobs that was part of my chastisement. That the Lord showed me. It was just as vivid, just as real as we're sitting here today. He showed me. I was given an opportunity to do something. And my lack of faith, I jumped into something else. And it took 10 years. And then out of nowhere, it seems, there's this job. Phew. I never thought picking up garbage would be so good. You know that? I didn't. I never thought picking up garbage could be so good. And it's not the picking up the garbage that's good. But boy, I'm telling you that the income is steady, and I hadn't had that. And I was right where God could use me. That's a good job, you know that? It gave me some liberty to where I could move around. Folks, when I first started there, they cussed out there in the shop just like it was nothing, like it was full of sailors. And they still do. But when I come in the room and nothing about me, I'm not trying to build me up, but when I come in the room, it seems that their talk changes. And it would start to change a little more as I worked there a few more days and a few more days. And that would change a little more. And then it wasn't very long. The Lord really got to using me just a little. I'm not building myself up. Then they started asking, Brother Kyle, what do you think about this? And it would be a question about the Lord. What do you think He could save me if I done this? Do you think this is the way to salvation? And then some of them begin to say, I want to tell you what the Lord done to me. Is this salvation? They begin to question. It's not nothing I done, but the Lord placed me there. Listen, if we'll follow God, He'll put us right where He can use us. He's mine. And I'm His. That statement I just made, He'll place us where He can use us. That goes a long way in a lot of things, you know it? It's not just in your job, but I'm telling you, it's in the church. It's in many different things. If the Lord has put you or placed you or impressed you to be somewhere, that's where you need to be. Now, I'm not preaching this morning one bit about you do this or that. You follow the Lord when He impresses you. That's all I can do. That's all I can ask you to do. I'm His. The Scripture says that I am supposed to be a delight for Him. Now, I don't know that I've ever been that, but I want to be. I'm His. He's mine. What little efforts I've ever made, God has blessed it beyond measure. You know that? Pray for me just a little longer. Amen. The book of Romans in the 8th chapter. I want to read just a few short verses here. I'd ask you to pray for me. I got up this morning. My blood pressure is 87 over 47. And I'm sure right now it ain't that good, but the Lord knows. So just pray that He'll hold me out just a little bit longer. 8th chapter, book of Romans. 35th verse. Familiar scriptures to most. There's a question here. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Boy, what a question. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. For the sake of time, I am His, and He is mine. And no matter what may come, no matter how many times I may fail, or how long that I live here, one day after a while, I will be present with the Lord. And there's nothing you can do about it. And there's nothing I can do about it. Hoo-wee. Folks, listen. If that don't mean something to you, then you need to get your heartstrings checked out just a little. People say, and I've been around them and they've accused me of it. People say that you missionary Baptists believe that once you get saved, you can do just whatever you want to do. As far as salvation comes, then let them make accusations. But I'll tell you this, the chastening hand of God is upon His children. When you fail as a child of God, chastisement is coming. Be ready for it. But I am thankful this morning that because I am one of His children, He loves me enough to correct me. He does. He loves me so much that when I get out of line, He'll correct me. Whew. I'm thankful to be one of His. If you're here this morning and you're not one of His, or if you're here this morning and you don't know for sure if you're one of His or not, all these blessings that we've spoken of, all these good things that we've talked about, all the good things to come, I want you to know there's a whole lot coming to me that I don't know about even yet. If you die in the condition of a lost person, I want you to know what you've got to look forward to. You won't get no chastisement. You know that? You won't. Sometimes when you were little, you thought that's pretty good if you got away with a whooping. You know what? If you ain't one of God's, He won't whoop you. You know that? Not to bring you back. That's a sad place to be. If you're here this morning, and just I'll just come right on out with it. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, your future looks pretty bleak. The Scripture says it'll be a dark place. no light. Where I'm going, the light's going to be so bright the sun won't even have to shine. Amen. But where you're going, it'll be utter darkness. Darkness like you can't even comprehend. The Scripture says that there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Folks, I don't know exactly what all this means, but I can think about it for a while. I believe that you'll be hearing the crying out of those people saying, God, I believe in you now. God, give me one more chance. But it won't come. I don't know that they'll be biting on you or not. I don't know those things, but I know what the Scripture says. Wait, could you imagine the terrible place? And the Scripture says that that place there will enlarge itself daily. Listen, it's already beyond the capacity I believe it was made for. You know that. So when one more dies each day, it has to get a little bit bigger. It gets a little more packed up. You imagine being packed in with people you don't like, and I'm sure you'll be there. You ain't going to like none of them. They just like you. They failed to repent. They're going to be just like you. Listen, you don't go to hell because you don't have this name or that. No, that ain't why. And you don't go to hell because you didn't go to church. No, that ain't it. It's a good place to go, though, ain't it? What was it over there in the Songs of Solomon just past there where I read? Talked about how he'd searched for the love, his beloved. Said he sought in the streets and in the city and upon his bed and he couldn't find him. Folks, listen, I know I've been there when you searched and you searched and you looked and you couldn't find him. That's a terrible place to be. Been there, done that. I know your heartache. But there comes a time when you've got to get sincere with God and you've got to do something about your condition. You've got to. If not, I'll tell you, the condition will take care of itself eventually. And you don't want that outcome. Whew, help me just a little while longer. Said that he sought and he didn't find him. I'll promise you this morning. A prayer is the sincere desire from the heart. If you'll pray from the heart, if your sincere desire is that you would seek God until you find Him precious to your soul, that you would seek Him and you get rid of the trouble and condemnation that's on your heart, if you'd seek Him until that veil of trouble was gone, sincere from your heart, listen to me. He'll remove it. He'll remove it. He will. I promise you. Just try Him one time. Sincerely. I remember, I know many of y'all that's been members here for a while knows the story, but as an 8-year-old boy, I went to spend a night with a friend of mine, and on Saturday night, if you stayed all night, Sunday morning, you went to church. That was part of the deal. And as an 8-year-old boy, I went to church with them, and the Lord convicted me. The preacher was preaching right to me. For 10 years, I run away from that. Didn't want no part of it. Scared. If you lost this morning, you better be scared. I didn't want to be around that teaching. I didn't want to be around those thoughts. You see, they made me know that I wasn't no good inside. And it wasn't that preacher, but it was the Lord. I think back on it now, and what a blessing it was that the Lord allowed me to live 10 years in that condition. Whew, what a blessing. Folks, when I got saved, I was in trouble. I don't know about y'all. I know if you're here this morning and you lost, I know what trouble is, I'll assure you. I didn't need to see lights. I didn't need to hear thunder. I didn't need to hear this song or that. Maybe you did. I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. But listen, I was in trouble and I was going to hell without a change. I was scared. And I finally realized I couldn't get it on my own. My sincere desire of my heart was that the Lord would relieve the pain. And listen, it didn't take a long time. It was just like that right there. Peace. Peace with God. That's all I was looking for. I didn't really know, but I know what I got. I got peace with God. As the song says, forevermore, I am His and He is mine forevermore. I mentioned it earlier. Bob Barker said, come on down. Come on down. Listen, if you need an invitation, here it is. Come on down. Don't waste another moment. If you're here and you're lost, let's get a song, brother. If you're here and you're lost and you know that you need to be seeking God, come on down here. You don't have to be here. This bench ain't never saved nobody. But listen, in the house of God, which is a house of prayer, right here would be a good place to come. We could gather around you. We can't save you, but we can help you ask God that He would. Come on down. That's my advice. That's my plea this morning. That's my bag. If you're here and you're lost, come on down. Join me here. Join me here. Let's have a song. Here's your invitation. Come. Come. Don't tarry any longer. Come.